Good evening, everyone. You're not asleep yet. The sermon hadn't even started. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
All right. Good to see everybody. It's finally here. 2020, Feast of Tabernacles. How many changes have you had in your plans? Everybody here has had a change in plans for the feast at some time or the other. But it's good to be here, and we're going to make the very, very most of the blessing that God has given us of being able to be together at the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. And I'll repeat the welcome to those of you who are online, whether you're at home or in small groups, or those of you that are actually here in St. George, but there with a glass of wine, ready to go to bed as soon as the amen. What is your first memory of the Feast of Tabernacles? Now, it's going to be a little difficult for some. I talked to a couple of the young ladies before church and asked what their first memory was. They didn't have one. They were born in the church, like my daughters. One was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, so she doesn't remember. Think back. What was your first feast like? There are some who are watching now or will be during the feast that this is their first feast, and it's really different. For a couple in Albuquerque, they were just baptized in the last couple of years, and they don't know a feast other than being at home, on being homebound and so forth. What are your memories? What caused you to come into the truth of God and be called and begin keeping God's feast days? I think back, I grew up in San Diego area, actually in Oceanside, California, when my parents were called into the truth. And we started attending church. My parents were baptized pretty shortly after we started attending. And they started talking about this Feast of Tabernacles, all new to us. It was coming up very shortly. And I got to thinking about it, and I was very happy that the Feast of Tabernacles was here. We don't have, am I doing something wrong? There you go. I was happy. They were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles in Big Sandy, Texas. And of course, 10-year-old, you think of John Wayne, Roy Rogers, and all that type of thing, but going to Texas. This is going to be great. Going to the feast. And of course, it was the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Not just Tabernacles, but the Feast of Tabernacles. So, is this my water? I hope so. This isn't hair gel or anything, is it? So we're going to have a feast, right? And of course, Ambassador College was in Pasadena, and Big Sandy and the Ambassador College Corral was going to be there in 1960. And so we figure, okay, it's Texas. We got a feast. We have a corral. And so, well, we can do this. And there'll be singing. So the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be great. You sit around singing in the corral, eating. What a deal. Now, they also said there's going to be church. And so, well, Texas church can't be that bad in addition to the eating and things. Well, we got to Big Sandy, Texas in 1960, and there were 7,000 people. Some of these slides don't show up too well. They're a little bit old. But 7,000 people, which was basically the summation of all of the people in the United States in the what was called the Radio Church of God at that time. And we heard sermons and Bible studies. Now, those of you who have been around close to that long, remember, three-hour sermons. And there was this three-hour sermon, and plus the sermonettes and thing in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, and then Bible study in the evening. And so we got plenty of food. It was more on the spiritual side, which was okay. Some people go back further than 1960 in Big Sandy. This was Sigler Springs, California, in 1952. They didn't have color back then, those of you that are as old as I am. But the little girl in the red dress was actually my wife. Don't do any math on that. I'm in enough trouble as it is. So that's my wife, the little girl in the red dress. That was Herbert Armstrong watching a baptism. Mr. Rod Meredith was baptizing a person there. So any of you there at that time besides my wife? No? Okay. Some of you go back to Big Sandy, Texas. How many go back to Big Sandy, Texas? All right. Good many hands. All right. Squaw Valley was the feast. How many of you attended Squaw Valley, California at the feast? Pretty good portion here. This is West Coast, 1961. And some of you attended a little bit later when they had color, actually. Big Squaw Valley. 1961, they had a feast in St. Lucia, and that group actually built their own tabernacle. And I know, sorry, you can't see it too well with the with the projector and everything, but they built their own tabernacle. Some of you went to the feast in Jekyll Island, and now these places were beginning to have 10,000 people during the feast, 15,000 people. We had the feasts in St. Petersburg, Florida, the Dells, in Dayton, Ohio, and many different places where there were a lot of people attending the feast. 1982, for the Worldwide Church of God at that time, Feast of Tabernacles to be the largest assembly on earth, it was calculated. See if I can go back. And it says more than 100,000 happy brethren will share this time of rejoicing. I don't know how many were not happy, but there were 100,000 happy people at least during the feast at that time. 1986, they called it the grandest family reunion. So a lot of you have ideas of your first feast. Some of you attended during these times. Many of you, again, some later, some over the last couple of years with the United Church of God that sprang off from the Radio Church of God and Worldwide Church of God. Wherever you were keeping the feast, as you're keeping the feast now, you were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and the wonderful world tomorrow. Happy family reunions. A lot of you are here as families and friends that get together and haven't seen each other in a while. A teenager's paradise. Teens would always get together, and I know you still do, and you get to meet so-and-so, and then there are long-distance relationships. Got a couple in Albuquerque that had a long-distance relationship, not as teens, but it's an opportunity to get together and know people in addition to many other things. Have biblical discussions with other members. Get together and have good meals to eat and drink and fellowship. This is what the feast brings to mind when we think about the Feast of Tabernacles. The feast is something that we prepare for all year round. We look forward to the brochure to see where are the feast sites going to be. Hopefully we don't have a repeat of 2020 when we just don't know yet, but we'll see what happens. You begin saving your money for that purpose. You begin thinking about where are we going to go? Where are we going to stay? Who are we going to get together with? What is the feast going to be like? And if you can wonder as it draws closer about who might need help being able to get to the feast because they're new. My family was helped out in our first year, 1960, with driving from Oceanside, California to Big Sandy. Who can I help? Who's going to be speaking? What's going to happen? There's great excitement about the feast. And during this feast, we're going to be looking forward to the world tomorrow. But sometimes, in order to look ahead, it's good to look back to see where we're going. Winston Churchill once said, "The further back you look, the further ahead you see." So let's look back a little bit to help us to be able to get the most out of this time that you are spending before God. We could go back, of course, to the time of Jesus Christ and the apostles when they kept the feasts. John 7:14, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. Of course, his custom was to attend and go to the feasts. Well, we know that, of course, the feasts go back further than that. When the temple was restored, Jerusalem was restored, Ezra 3:1, the seventh month had come, the children of Israel gathered in Jerusalem, and they kept the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, of course, it goes back further than that, because God gave those feasts to Moses. Leviticus 23:34, speak to the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So is that as far back as the feasts go? What is the first mention of the feasts in the Bible? Again, let's go back to be able to see ahead. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And God commanded," this is from the Good News Translation, which takes a little bit of liberty with the wording here, but is more accurate than most. It says, "And God commanded, let the lights appear in the sky to separate day from night, and to show the time when days, years, and religious festivals begin." There wasn't anybody on earth. What do you mean religious festivals? Well, the word there, religious festivals, you see in your translation on your lap, is different than that. But the word moed means seasons or appointed times. And the Good News Translation translators understanding that actually means that those seasons were put in place. So it says in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, or whichever you're counting for the feast days, would be an appointed time, an appointment with God. And God started planning that ahead of time. In Leviticus 23:1-2, again using the Good News Translation to show the continuity here, it says, "The Lord gave Moses the following regulations for the religious festivals when the people are to gather for worship." Your translation may say the seasons or the appointed times. Now, the indication here is that God just didn't come up with the feasts in Leviticus chapter 23. He was planning it from the beginning. And the indication is that he was planning it before that. So this feast day that you are attending now was something that God planned for you a long time ago. Matthew 25:34, apply these to you, because these verses are talking to you. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Not from Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 was a continuity of the plan that God had for his people to become a part of God's kingdom. John 17:24 says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He wants you to be with him, Jesus says. And the Father wants you to be with them for eternity. That's what this feast is all about. It's not just about having fun. It's not just about traveling somewhere interesting. It's not just about sitting and enjoying yourself. It's about your eternity that they planned from the beginning. Ephesians chapter 1 and parts of verses 3 through 14. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be blameless and holy in his sight." Well, there's a purpose for you. You've got a responsibility in this plan. We can't just sit here. We have to work to be holy and blameless in his sight, to follow their laws and follow their way of life so that we can help others inherit this great plan. Verse 5, it says, his unchanging plan, New Living Translation, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This gave him great pleasure. We're going to see that one of the things that we're commanded to do, you've got to command me to rejoice, but to rejoice, right? Well, they're rejoicing. When you're following their laws, when you're following their direction and their way of life and their thoughts, and you're in sync with them and you're one with them as Jesus Christ prayed that you could be, and that we would be, it gives them great pleasure. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Jesus Christ. He got a plan and a purpose for you. Now, I'll just do a little sidebar here, that this does not mean predestination from the perspective that, you know, he knew exactly that, you know, Bob would be sitting in row 12, aisle 3 or whatever, but that it's like a husband and wife that they talk about, we want to have, and maybe you'll tell your children, we wanted to have two children, a boy and a girl, and we wanted them to be a part of our family, to inherit the business, to have grandchildren, and to make this family. And we even thought of names before you were born. We didn't know who you were going to be exactly or when you were going to be conceived, but we thought of names. We said how we're going to paint the room and made all these plans for you, save for your college fund. And so before you were born, we planned for you. And that's the way it is with you. And while God can and does and has on occasion picked certain people and saw them through, for the most part, he said, I'm going to call some people. You just happen to be those people for this time in this age. It's their purpose. In verse 10, and this plan, this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Mr. Malir, I hadn't heard that until he just mentioned that, but it was his time for the people that were going to be here to cancel. And it's your time to be here for a purpose, for a plan, for the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. He chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided years ago. The Feast of Tabernacles and the other feast days were not accidents. There were plans. And you're a part of it. God's purpose is that we who were first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. You're called as the first fruits. And we should praise our glorious God in our actions and in our thoughts and in our discussions. Verse 13, and now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. My parent, when the ministers first came to visit my parents in 1960 in Oceanside, California, in the trailer park we lived in, kids had to go outside and we were eating hot dogs, pork hot dogs, of course, because pork was cheaper than beef, and we didn't know about a lot of things. But then God opened my parents' minds and gave them the Spirit. You're here because God gave you his Spirit, his mind. And now he wants us to use that Holy Spirit to be his children and to become his children forever. It's his promise. Verse 14, the Spirit is God's guarantee. He'll give us everything he promised, and he's purchased us to be his own people. It's a guarantee as long as we respond. Again, we have to do our part. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. And we're here praising our glorious God. Those of you that were around with Radio Church of God and part of the time with the Worldwide Church of God would remember Herbert Armstrong, who was one of the founders of the modern era of the church. But he would say, "Why are we here, brethren?" And then he'd tell you why we're here. Why are we here? What are you doing here tonight? Or what are you doing in your hotel drinking a glass of wine, watching, whatever? Why are you here? Well, the commands says, Deuteronomy 14, verse 26, you shall spend the tithe on whatever your heart desires, for oxen, sheep, wine, similar drink, whatever your heart desires, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So you better be happy. You remember what it says about the Israelites, and God says that when they complained, it made God mad. Okay? And so you're here to rejoice. Now, things don't always go well, right? Some cars broke down, and maybe you didn't get a hotel you wanted or whatever, but my wife and I, on driving in, said, okay, we're not going to complain about anything during the feast. We made this pact. We're not going to complain about anything. My wife said, even the traffic? We'll find things that are not just right. Rather not be that way. Sickness. I mean, things that are really very, very serious, and it is awful to go through various trials. Maybe losing your job and all kinds of things, but it's a time to rejoice because we're thinking about how God is going to fix everything. And it's not just about us having a good time and being happy and going out and, well, we got to miss some services because otherwise we're not going to be able to visit the national park or whatever. It's pointing us to the future about what to rejoice about. Jeremiah 31, 11, and 12 says, the Lord will rescue the people of Jacob, for they will come shouting for joys on the hills of Zion. The Feast of Tabernacles, the time of the millennium, the time of the great white throne judgment, when people with all of the things that they've gone through are going to be rejoicing. It said, jubilant over the Lord's gifts, grain, wine, oil, flocks, herds, save your money, for whatever your soul desires, right? It's picturing this. It's not just about having a good steak, which we had already and hopefully we'll have more, but it's about what God is doing with us. And it says, then the young women will dance for joy, and old men and young men will join in. I'll turn their mourning to joy. The Feast of Tabernacles is about what God is doing with all of mankind, bringing them into his family. I'll comfort them and exchange their mourning for sorrow. We're here to develop relationships. You know, it says that your sons, your daughters, your male servants and female servants and Levites, it's a group thing, you know. You're together as family. If you're here by yourself, you're together as family because you're here with everybody else. Rejoice in the Lord your God's presence, it says. You know, and he says that those who feared the Lord and talked often one to another, the Lord listened. You know, the conversations you had this evening, God was listening. He called you here. He wants you as a part of his family or his kids, and he's listening to your conversations. And of course, we got to keep that in mind, right? It's that candid camera. Dating myself. Pretty good show a long time ago, but the camera's on. And it says those things are even written down. We're here to learn. Deuteronomy 14:23 says that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And what does the fear of the Lord include? But it's about learning what God has to say and then the proper type of fear to do that. Micah 4 verse 2, projecting the future, and it's about many nations coming and saying, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us his ways. You came to St. George, or you came to the internet, or however you're going to be listening to the word of God. You're here to be taught God's ways so you can walk in his paths. You listen and you do. Learn about what? Well, of course, as we come into the feast, we learn about peaceful nations. We learn about abundant food, about cities being run well, about children playing in the streets, lions lying down with lambs, people being taught God's way. We're going to hear a lot about that. I think most generally we look for a theme during the feast. There's a theme during the feast, and it's the feast, actually. I think this year is interesting. You like Costco, you know, and when before the COVID came, and go through what I call the seniors buffet, but it's, you know, the samplers, right? And so you go by and you sample and you get your buffet and you go home. But anyway, I'm going to give you right now a free Feast Fever sermon sampler. Because I have people say, well, who's speaking at the feast? Do you know who's speaking? And what are the sermons going to be about? Okay, here's your free Feast Fever sermon sampler. Tonight was mine from the foundation of the world. Tomorrow morning, there's a teen Bible study with Aaron Creech, Whatever Your Heart Desires. Scott McKeon, Young Adult Bible Study. Am I worthy? Some good topics here. Saturday afternoon, Holy Day, Don Turgeon. Ready, one, two, three, jump! Now, these are samplers. If you're going to get the whole thing, you got to buy it. You got to be here, okay? So you can't miss. Steve Knutzman, Behold, Your King is Coming. Day two, David Blue, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. Charles Millier, Who Will You Be for Eternity? I'm excited about that one, Charles. I'm ready for it. I don't know. Looking for the answer. Home Office Video, topic of staying connected to God and the body of Christ. Sermon, this is split. Andy Lee, now, next, and beyond. I want to know what's beyond, right? Day 4, Eric Moore, a new heart, a pure language. The cubic, the kingdom everyone wants. Randy Love, why are we here? A little bit different take on it. Mario Segli, family life now and in the millennium. David Finch, Bible study that evening, understanding the millennium from God's perspective. Day 6, Victor Ho, the arts, God's intent in creation, today's world and the world tomorrow. The arts. Rex Sexton, are you a Zadok? Well, are you? Can't just sample it, you gotta be there. Day 7, Scott McKeon, Living Waters. Aaron Creech, as we go home, we can't lose the vision of the kingdom. The 8th day in the morning, Roy Waterhouse, what a special day. One of my personal favorite, actually. Steve Myers, Hope for Humanity. Boy, do we need that. In the afternoon, Sean Cortolo, great meaning to take home. So we've got a lot of learning to do, a lot of understanding about this plan God called you to from before the foundation of the world. And when you go home, they're going to give you something to take home. We're going to be learning about how to rule and become teachers, and so you're not just here again to learn, but to learn how to teach, how to be helping those people in the millennium and the great white throne judgment who desperately need what you know and what God is teaching you. Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you'll see them, and that's you. No mask, because you'd be spirit being. You don't need one. Learn about how to rule and become teachers. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, I saw thrones, they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. You're going to get your throne. When Mr. Malir sent out the survey and asked if you wanted mask or unmask, and I said masked, and he said, and then it says at the bottom, any special needs? And my special needs were a Barca lounger and an open bar, and they did not give it to me. But I'll have my throne then. Don't need the Barca lounger now. Judgment was committed to them. There'll be judges ruling. And you got to know what to rule and what to say and how to fix the problems. You'll have God's spirit. You'll be spirit. You'll be able to do it. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, the millennium. Learn how to become like God. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And then we have an obligation. It's not been revealed what we shall be, well, Mr. Malir is going to tell us here, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Or we'll see him as he is. Are you like Jesus Christ? Are you going to be like Jesus Christ during the feast? Are you learning more and more to become like him? That's why we're here. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And oh yeah, we need that high priest that sees our weaknesses and who forgives and who helps us through our trials and temptations and time we slap ourselves upside the head and say, I need that sacrifice of Jesus Christ in order to be able to be like him. Second Peter 3, verse 13, as we close here, those words you love to hear. 2 Peter 3 and verse 13 says, but we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth as he has promised, a world where everyone is right with God. I mean, it's an exaggeration, but boy, you look at the news today and it seems like nobody is right with God. Well, there are a lot of people that are. Thank God for that. But we're looking forward to the time when all of the stuff you see in the world today, all of the pain and the sorrow, your personal pains, your personal sorrows, will be done. We're looking forward to that time. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and to be at peace with God. And let's be at peace with God and at peace with one another. And have a great Feast of Tabernacles. Defy 2020. And have a great Feast of Tabernacles and a profitable feast.